This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
And we welcome you in. Good Saturday morning to you. It's John Dickinson, joined again by nice guy Steven. Steven Langford here as we are live and local on the weekend. Of course, you hear nice guy Steven Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game before Joe, Lowe, and Dibs. Nice guy. Good
yes,
to
sir.
Be with you again. I think you took a Saturday off, and then we had the holiday, but here we are. So it should be a lot of fun.
So the reason I took that Saturday off, JD, was to help my parents move out of this cabin that they've owned for quite a while, right? It took us the entire day from 8 a.m. until 10:30 p.m. to officially get everything done. So it took about 14 hours from the time we had all this stuff planned. We had like a moving van going to a storage place, and the storage place was going to have another truck for us, and it just all went to bleep in the morning. We had like a 3-hour delay. Ended up taking 14 hours, JD.
Jesus.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, that I would have just planned for, and I think you did, this is just going to be a whole weekend kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, anytime you're doing anything like that, it always tends to take more time than you would anticipate it to.
Yeah.
It's like, it was going to be at least a full day, if not two, just to you know, get it where you're feeling comfortable about everything.
No doubt. And moving is a top three obligation that everyone has to go through in life that they really do not want to do. So whenever things go haywire, whenever it's just, you know, it's that, what is it, Murphy's Law, when what can go wrong will go wrong. And that always seems to take place whenever we're moving.
Yeah, moving can be the worst.
Ugh.
And there, I at one point, I think, moved 6 times in about 7 years.
Really?
In my 20s. And in my 30s, it's been 1 time. It's been 1 time. Like, I've literally been in the same, and I've been in the same building here in Walnut Creek, like, literally since I moved to the Bay back in 2000. It was at the end of 2011. So we're you know, basically eight and a half years. I've moved the one time when I moved from Sacramento to here, the reason I'm like terrified to go anywhere,
yeah,
is exactly what you're talking about, and just the bad history that I had of moving 6 times in 7 years.
So was that all within the Sacramento type of area? Or
yes.
Okay. Because if
yes.
You were like, you know, moving from state to state, I mean, ooh.
No, it was my whole 20s were, it was, you know, school, it was apartment with friends, it was parents, it was different apartment in a different part of town, it
yeah.
was, you know, house with a cousin. Like, there were just a million different, like, it just seemed like it the situation warranted needing some kind of a change. It basically, you know, every 14 months or so on the average, toned that way down once I hit 30 and moved to the Bay.
Yeah, and then you got that awkward moment of where you got to, you know, ask your friends, hey, you wanna help me move? Or you got to ask your friend who has the pickup truck, can I please borrow your truck for just one day? I'll buy you lunch tomorrow. You know, you got to do all that awkward sort of stuff. Nothing comes good with moving, JD.
Yeah, never again. So it's good to have you back. Good to get through the holiday, you know, weekend, last weekend. And, you know, when we last talked, it was really looking, you know, kind of tumultuous as to whether or not we were really going to see the return of Major League Baseball, of the NBA, although both at that particular point in time did have agreements in place,
right?
But with everything going on with COVID-19 and you know the subsequent spike in cases and everything, it was looking pretty bleak the last time we were on. I mean, here we are now a few weeks later, and the NBA, I mean, teams are in Orlando. The NFL's trying to hammer out the final negotiations, which has gotten a little bit tricky between the players and Major League Baseball. Despite some positive tests and some high-profile players, including one locally high-profile player, some guys have opted out, but they're pushing forward as well for that start here in about 12 days.
Yeah, and you know there's been some skepticism on the side of on Adam Silver's side at least. We haven't really heard much from Rob Manfred as far as baseball start really since these agreements came to terms. And then what did he say? He said the whole plan was to have 60 games anyway. We haven't really heard from him since. But, you know, Adam Silver, he's been when I've heard him say that the Orlando bubble, I mean, if cases spike, then it could pop. Like, just at least hearing that sort of skepticism, it at least makes me it comforts me personally a little more as a guy who, you know, who feels slightly guilty watching this stuff or will feel slightly guilty. I'm looking forward to it, but also when I think of the bigger picture, that's when I'll start to feel a little odd watching it. But I do like how Adam Silver has kind of came out and said, look, we understand where the world has been headed for the past week or so. And, you know, if push comes to shove, the Orlando bubble could pop, as he said. And I respected Adam Silver as much as I already do for everything that he's done for the NBA so far. So we've had some different stuff going on within baseball and NBA and their returns.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's John Dickinson and Stephen Langford. We are with you here for the next 4 hours until 2 o'clock here live and local on 95.7 The Game on a Saturday as we move on toward the return of sports. You mentioned Major League Baseball. The Giants scheduled to be one of the first two games on the first day, the only games on the slate here 2 weeks from 2 days ago. So we are literally 12 days away from the Giants opener, and the Giants find themselves in a position where they are going to be without the face of the franchise. Buster Posey announcing yesterday that he will opt out of the 2020 season. It was incredibly appropriate and admirable and understandable when he explained it yesterday at the via the Zoom, basically the Zoom press conference that he held to make the announcement. He and his wife Kristen adopting a couple of girls that were born last week, and you know they are going to be in a NICU situation for a while, and he didn't want to risk it. And I think it, you know, when you hear that, and I know Posey had hinted he was still going to decide whether he was in or he was out from day one, which happened to be the day that the two girls were born. It makes a lot of sense why Buster Posey ultimately would make the decision that he made. And it just, you know, I've said this time and time again, Stephen, anybody that needs to opt out for any reason in 2020, I have absolutely zero problem with. And I think when you look at the class and the manner that, that Buster Posey handled, you know, his situation and the way the Giants have handled it, it just made a lot of sense. It all seemed very appropriate.
Yeah. What were you expecting, though, JD, like when that press conference was announced? Because personally, when I heard that he was holding one, you know, with the media, I just assumed that he was just going to take the season off due to COVID and just the risk that comes along with playing in it during the pandemic. And I just, you know, when before it started, I was just thinking, yeah, that makes sense anyway. But then, you know, we heard that he adopted these two girls. I don't think that that was in anybody's mind when Gabe Kapler mentioned that he has some personal stuff to deal with. But yeah, either way, I mean, I'm not going to blame a player for even wanting to opt out at all. But, you know, this just gives us another angle as to why we love Buster Posey so much here in the Bay Area. And if you don't like him on the field, then you can at least respect him off the field. It doesn't matter which team you're a fan of. But I just thought that, you know, when I heard the two daughters who were adopted, it's crazy to think that when we watch some of these athletes, especially a guy like Buster Posey, who we followed since the minor leagues, right? When they drafted him, it's Buster Posey. All eyes are on him, seeing what he did in college, all of that. So we've really watched him grow up. So seeing the type of man that he's become, I mean, that's kind of what makes sports also so special. You know, you get to watch some of these guys from the time they're 18 leading all the way into their mid-30s, even into their 40s, if you're talking about some players like maybe even a Dirk or a Vince Carter or something like that. So it's just this is another just sort of way we get to watch Buster Posey grow up and taking this season off. Yeah, I don't think there's anyone who should be having some sort of take as to why he should be playing during this 2020 season.
Yeah, and look, you know, I know there were some, you know, speculating, you know, what was going on. Was there something bigger going on than just, you know, deciding whether to play? And obviously that was all tied together yesterday once he explained it. It all made sense after the fact. You know, the way Gabe Kapler had said, hey, look, he's dealing with something. You know, that's a situation that, you know, it led toward some strange conversations about, you know, is he considering retirement, which is not something that I ever thought.
Yeah,
was
you
on
didn't,
the table.
Right? I just, when I heard that, I was like, huh, retirement. I don't know if it would be a retirement sort of announcement. It wouldn't be a surprise thing like Andrew Luck. It's not like he's been plagued by injuries his entire career.
And he was on, you know, Buster, when he met with everybody the first day, I mean, he did say flat out that he was intending to play, as much as he acknowledged how weird it was and how awkward it was. I mean, he came in wanting to see how it was going to play out and how it was going to go. And I think with the intent to play, I do think, you know, the situation though, with the adoption and the birth of, you know, the two girls, you know, I think that was ultimate. I mean, that was the issue, obviously, which led him, you know, down the path to not want to risk, you know, any kind of illness or putting the two babies in any kind of, you know, position to where they could possibly get infected in addition to the rest of his family. So it all tied together yesterday. And so Buster Posey is out for the 2020 season. It's interesting. You know, there's been so much, you know, conversation. We've all kind of been in the mode of sort of list radio, right, during the pandemic.
Totally.
You know, come up with this list and that list because it's, you know, it's a different way to talk about things. And you
I'm
know,
judging who
content.
You are as a person based on your top 10 list, JD. Yeah, I'm totally judging everyone on their personalities.
So, you know, I mean, Buster Posey is, I mean, we're talking about the face of the franchise for sure now with Madison Bumgarner gone. But I mean, he is as much as anybody he is one of the top, you know, five or six faces, I think, of San Francisco Giants history. Now, when you look at, you know, the three World Series and, you know, the Rookie of the Year and winning the MVP, yep, in 2012,
six-time All-Star.
I mean, this is for him to be able to, you know, for him to be able to step away and do it for the reason that he's stepping away. I mean, I just think it's such a great tone setter for, you know, just the entire organization as far as, you know, showing up, wanting to be a part of it, and then ultimately, you know, saying, hey, family first, that's what's most important. And so he winds up opting out.
And JD, I think also this speaks to who Posey is too, because again, with the intention of playing for the 2020 season, I think it's very easy for a guy like Buster Posey, who, you know, statistically he's been on the decline for the past couple of years. The power isn't so much there. But it's easy for a guy like Buster Posey, who's on a team with the Giants, who's not really expected to do much. He's a veteran. I mean, he could really just decide. He could have just decided, hey, I want it to, any athlete could do this that's in his place, but they could just decide, look, I don't really like the 60-game season. I'm not too hot right now anyway. I think taking a year off, that might help me get back into the swing of things. Maybe I could get my power back. I could work in the offseason. And obviously, he's had other reasons as to why he's opting out. But I think that take away all that stuff, he could have easily just said, nah, look, I'll let the young guys get their work. I'm gonna just work on, you know, my craft and all that during this offseason. I'm kind of surprised more athletes haven't done that. But also, I mean, it speaks to who he is, the fact that he actually wanted to get out there with this team who's really, I think he knows that they're not expecting to do much this year.
Yeah, if his reason had been, you know, I'm just not feeling it, it's weird, I'm worried about getting sick, independent of the situation with, you know, his two daughters now.
Yeah.
You know, if he had said that, I think that would have been fine. But when you add it all up, you know, and he does, you know, say what he said yesterday as far as the reason goes, I mean, it just made a ton of sense. So Buster Posey opts out. The Giants will play the 2020 season without him. He'll be back in 21. His contract, he is under contract for 2021 for just over $21 million. And then the Giants, I think there's a team option or a payout for 2022, you know, depending upon which way that goes. But so it does leave, you know, I think there's a certain portion of fans that, you know, stand up and applaud Buster Posey for the way he conducted himself in mm-hmm. that particular situation and stepping aside. And then I think once you remove that from the discussion, and I think a Giants fan moves on to the next phase of the discussion, and I do want to get into kind of where Posey ranks among all-time Giants at some point, so we will do that. But I also, you look at it in the context of this season, and I think a lot of Giants fans think, okay, Posey's out. He's doing the right thing for his family. You applaud that, and then you move on. And I think a lot of Giants fans are thinking, okay, this means Joey Bart. This means it's Joey Bart's time. This means Joey Bart's going to be on the team and be the starting catcher, and he's the player for the future. And the hope is that he's going to be in some ways the next Buster Posey, although that is obviously unfair to heap on anybody.
Of course.
But the reality, though, is, and, you know, Farhan Zaidi and Gabe Kapler have both said this the last couple of days, Joey Bart isn't going to be that guy because the Giants don't feel he's ready. And I think a lot of Giants fans are going to be surprised when he isn't a major part of the mix.
And you're not, I don't think, do you think people are expecting Joey Bart day one? You're going to go, the first two games, by the way, speaking of which, Giants Dodgers, the fact that that's the first, one of the first two games along with the Yankees and the Nationals, so you have a World Series winner along with the Yankees. But do you think, though, that speaks to just how strong that rivalry is? And I'll get to where Joey Bart is in a second, but I mean, just the fact that the Giants and Dodgers are one of the first two games to start off the season, a shortened one, I think that says something because they wouldn't be putting a game on there that wouldn't garner the ratings that they feel like they deserve right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's part you want to have an East Coast game and a West Coast game.
Right.
And I think part of it is just you want to make sure that you – I think they wanted to take care of the Nationals.
Yeah.
And the Nationals were going to play the Yankees, so that makes perfect sense. The Nationals are the defending champions. You put the Yankees with them. You need a West Coast, you know, kind of rivalry. And I think you look at the two, you know, fan bases, and those two fan bases, as far as the West Coast goes, are as they're number one and number two, period.
Yeah.
I mean, the Giants and Dodgers fan bases, and the Dodgers obviously being one of the best teams in the game the last 5 years, although they have come up short in the postseason and the World Series a couple of times. You know, you're not going to put the Padres on, or the Mariners, or the Angels, or the A's, although the Angels do have some star power, and the A's may be one of the best teams in baseball. When you talk rivalry and fan base, and, you know, which teams are going to have their fans excited to watch on
right.
the West Coast, I mean, Giants and Dodgers is really a no-brainer. It's not going to be the Rockies or the D-backs or any of those other teams.
I mean, that's the crazy part to me, though, is that the Giants aren't, you know, in terms of the NL West, compared to, say, like, I don't know, the Padres, a young, up-and-coming team, and you could play that against the Dodgers. I mean, that's just an NL West matchup, I think, that's going to be going on for quite a while. But to the Joey Bart point, though, I don't think that... Do fans really expect the Giants to throw Joey Bart out there, instant starter, going up against the longtime rival Dodgers? We're going to give him four at-bats in his first game back. They're probably going to be, you know, wheeling out Walker Buehler or somebody like that. I mean, I don't know why fans want him to be rushed so quickly. I do think at some point in the season, he's going to have to come in and they're going to have to acclimate him, whether it be just having him in as a pinch hitter at first, maybe at least get his feet under him. But, I mean, were fans really expecting him just to instantly go out there and get four at-bats a game right from the jump?
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear at 888-957-9570, you know, and on the text line at 888-957-9570, because I've gone back and forth, you know, with a lot of Giants fans who are friends, and one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up right out of the chute was, to a person, they all kind of said the same thing. Well, it's Joey Bart's time. Joey Bart, now they'll get a look at Joey Bart. Why wouldn't you want to get a look at Joey Bart for 60 games? And if he fails, so be it. You know, treat it as a learning experience and an opportunity for him to get better facing the top level competition. Now, here's the reality. One, it's not going to happen like that.
Right.
And as I mentioned, both Gabe Kapler and Farhan Zaidi have referenced that in the last couple of days, that they still feel that Bart has development left before he is somebody that's going to be on a major league roster, you know, on an everyday basis. I know there has been some conversation about, you know, well, the Giants are definitely going to want to wait because they want to start his, you know, his service time clock later, and that obviously can lead to one more, you know, year of him being less expensive down the line when he, you know, could be a damn good player. All of those things potentially factors, but here's just the reality of it. If you look at Joey Bart's stats, I mean, Joey Bart had, since he was drafted in 2018, Stephen, that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at 45 at bats at low A up in Oregon. And then I'm looking at, I'm looking at 45 games rather, 203 plate appearances there. He's got, you know, he had 251 plate appearances, 234 at bats in San Jose. So we're talking high A ball.
Right.
Like, we're talking 57 games of high A ball.
And
we're talking, you know, 87, you know, 79 at bats at double A. It's a situation where, I mean, this guy's had, you know, this guy hasn't, he hasn't played a lot. You know, even in the low levels of the minor leagues, he hasn't played a lot.
I mean, it's in San Jose, too, hitting .265 with 12 home runs and 37 RBIs. I remember watching Brandon Belt in single A ball because, you know, being in the San Jose Giants
sure.
games are a lot of fun. San Jose Giants games are some of the best times when you're younger. Go to left field, get a little barbecue. It's great. I love going to San Jose Giants games. I believe one of the more recent ones that I went to was against the Modesto Nuts. But anyway, that's for another day. Brandon Belt, though, was hitting like he was hitting upwards of 400. And he had double-digit homers. He was up there within the 50, 60 RBI range when I was watching him at the time, and they still weren't really rushing to get him up anytime soon. Now, the team was in a different place, but Joey Bart's numbers aren't exactly anywhere close to that. Now, when he got up to double-A, then he started hitting 316 with four home runs and 11 RBIs, but that's only after 22 games. So you're right. He really hasn't had much playing time, and I really think it's going to be an ease him in situation. I do think it would be a mistake to not play him at all this season. I just think that would be irresponsible to do because he is expected to, it is Joey Bart's time, but Joey Bart's time, that window has a few years. It's not just this season. So I think they are going to get him in eventually, but rushing him in and you know what? The Giants in general, I don't even think they're really mulling that over too much. I don't even think Joey Bart's the number one question mark as far as who they're going to put in the starting lineup. I could see the Giants having the out of the 60 game season. You know what? Since there are only 60 games, we're going to be able to tally this by the end. But I feel like they're going to have the highest amount of different starting lineups during the season out of everyone in baseball because there's so many ways you could go. And Joey Bart is just another piece on that, but they got Tyler Heineman. Who knows if they're going to get another veteran catcher like they did with Steven Vogt? Probably not. They might want to work in their young guys a little more, but I just don't think there's any rush to get Bart in right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at, 45 games in low A. I'm looking at, the Arizona Fall League. He plays some six games 1 year, 10 games the next year. He's got 57 games in San Jose, high A, and then 22 games at double A. So that's the highest level that he's played. 22 games of double A ball.
Right.
And, yes, 23 years old, but a situation where he's still got a ways to go. And with Buster Posey, opting out, it puts the Giants in kind of a position that we haven't talked about, but I've talked about on some other shows where it's like, wow, when is has the rebuild already started? We'll get into that coming up next because the Giants are going to take the field in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And they're going to do it without Buster Posey. But the players that are going to be on the field, it is going to make Giants fans think that the rebuild hasn't even started yet. So we'll get into that coming up. It's John Dickinson, Stephen Langford, and you, 888-957-9570, as we are live and local here on a Saturday on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Stephen Langford, and you on the phone lines at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. That is also the phone number where you can shoot us a text. And the conversation at the top of the show, Stephen, has been one, Buster Posey opting out for the 2020 season. I think it's admirable and understandable the reasons by which he is doing that. And then secondarily, it leads toward the conversation of who's going to play catcher for the Giants for the 60-game campaign should it be completed. And I think a lot of Giants fans immediately when they heard the news that Buster Posey wasn't going to play, they immediately thought Joey Bart. And, if you listen to the comments made yesterday by Farhan Zaidi and also Gabe Kapler, they're letting everybody know to pump the brakes on that because Joey Bart, to this point in time, Stephen, has played 22 games of double-A ball, and that's the highest level that he's played at.
And, well, let me ask you this, JD. Do you trust – because, we've been kind of going off of a lot of what the texters are saying or – the callers of saying, of course, 888-957-9570 is both the phone line and the Chilton Autobody text line. But do you trust how the Giants front office is going to be handling this thing. Because I think that's ultimately what this comes down to. It's you know, you may think that Joey Bart, you know, shouldn't even play in this 60-game season. You may think that he needs to be called up right away, but do you ultimately trust whatever decisions Farhan makes, whatever decision Scott Harris makes, whatever decision Gabe Kapler makes, whatever they feel is right for Joey Bart in this scenario?
Yeah, we have no, you know, so far we're 1 year in with Farhan Zaidi. So far, sure, no issue. I mean, I think, you know, there were some fines, you know, last year, if you look at Dickerson and you look at Yastrzemski, and they've made their draft picks who are going to be factors, you know, down the line. I mean, the Giants do have talent in their organization. It's just that the talent in their organization is probably not going to all be up and playing together at a point where they can be really good for at least two and maybe three more years from now. So it becomes a question of what are the next couple of seasons until they get to that point? What are those going to look like? And look, Gabe Kapler hasn't managed a game for the Giants yet, so he should have a completely clean slate. I don't think he does, and he admitted this on the day that he was hired at his introductory press conference. He admitted that he's starting in a hole based on you know, some of the off-field things that happened within the Dodgers organization when he was with them, and also based on the fact that consecutive years he managed the Phillies, those seasons got away from him after decent starts. So I think there is question marks surrounding Gabe Kapler going into it. But as far as can we evaluate him as a manager of the Giants, I mean, of course not. So I think to a certain extent, even though I'm not necessarily a fan of that hire, you know, he's basically got a clean slate. So I think while all of those things are on the table, and you may say you trust them down the line, you know, this is how fans think of it, Stephen. And you correct me if I'm wrong on this.
Gotcha.
Fans view it as if you're not going to be good, you might as well be building toward the future. If you look at your team and you're going to be old and you don't project to be a very good team, and you think a few years from now you're going to be, if it is truly a rebuild, then play the young guys. Like fans want to be good and veteran, and if you can't be good, then you want to be young and building towards something and preferably fun to watch. You want a bunch of young athletes, you know, sprinting around the field with power and strong arms and raw talent.
Right.
And I just don't think we're going to see a whole hell of a lot of that, definitely in 2020, but we might not even see it in 21, to be perfectly honest.
No, and you know, you're spot on. I don't think what you're saying as far as the way fans think, just call them up right now. What's the harm in trying to give these guys playing time? Well, you know, I don't care if it's a 60-game season. I don't care if the Giants aren't supposed to be very good. It's still a lot of pressure to put on a younger player just to ultimately go out and represent your big team when they've been playing in, you know, in the minor leagues for the past couple of years. You know, I don't think it'd be fair to put, say, Elio Ramos out there right now or Marco Luciano. They actually got some good players in rookie ball that I've heard about that I'm really looking forward to. They're not even on the prospect list, but they have a plan. And these players that they have in the low A's right now, those are the ones that I think that they're kind of waiting on. You know, there are some that they want to make that transition from the minor leagues to the big league team, Joey Bart being one of those guys. But ultimately, I think they're going to more or less try and just ease them into the squad and into the speed of playing baseball, because I don't care if it's, you know, college, high school, single A, Double A, Triple A, the speed of the game changes with every league you go into. And that's what I've heard most about whenever, because I got a couple of buddies who's currently, one of them is currently in the Brewers organization right now. He's on the 40-man roster, But I was just kind of asking him, you know, the biggest difference between, because he's been all over. He's been playing in the single A, the double A, the triple A, and all that. And he just goes, the speed of the game. The speed of the game is just so much different. It's so vast that, like, you can't even function sometimes when you're out there on the field. You just can't get used to it. So I think that's kind of what's being missed on the fans right now is, sure, he might be the future of the franchise. He might be that next catcher, not necessarily replace Buster Posey to it, but to at least be a functional option at catcher. But also trying to get these guys in and rushing them right away, I don't think it does any good for any young player to do that.
From the text line at 888-957-9570, 925, and I think this echoes the sentiment from a lot of Giants fans, there's literally no negative to playing him. No expectations, and a college-length season he's used to depends on how he manages the pitching staff, speaking, of course, about Joey Bart. I think a lot of fans view it as there's no downside, no negative. If he comes up and plays 60 games and hits 185 with, you know, four home runs and takes his lumps, so be it. He'll be better for it down the line, even if he winds up playing a portion of 21 in the minor leagues. Because that's the other thing here, Steven. There's no minor league, you know, there's no minor league season. It's not like he's going to be getting at bats,
right?
You know, playing in double A or playing in double A and then triple A.
And speaking of the how he manages the pitching staff part, I mean, you still got Cueto, who's going to be hitting free agency after 2021. You got Samardzija, who's going to be a free agent after this season. I mean, all you got this year is the new guy, Kevin Gausman, who, when he was with the Orioles, I thought he was going to be a beast, but then he kind of fell off a little bit. Turns out he got his splitter back, so I'm kind of actually looking forward to that this year. But it's not even just to mention the changes that are going to be made to the lineup. The rotation still needs to be sorted out. That's something that they're still trying to build. I mean, they're not just trying to build the lineup. That rotation still needs to build. So I think that when they're trying to call up Joey Bart, they might want to use, I don't know, the pitcher. They might sign a pitcher to a free agent contract, whatever, kind of like they did with Cueto or Samardzija. But I think that overall, they want Joey Bart to work with the pitching staff that's been coming up along with him in the minor leagues right now. It's kind of like, you know, when you get a rookie quarterback, kind of like Alex Smith, who played with five or six different offensive coordinators in his first few years with the 49ers. You know, you don't want to get a guy switching pitching staffs every year as the seasons go on and his career goes on, especially at the beginning.
And I think that's a great point. Here's my question for you. Are the Giants a rebuilding team? I just flat, like, surface, yes or no, top of your head, are the Giants a rebuilding team? Are the Giants rebuilding?
I think they're still on the path. I really think they've set themselves up to the point
are they a contending team?
They're not a contending team, but they're
okay,
also...
And you also don't want to say they're fully a rebuilding team, right?
Because they do not have those pieces together yet. Let's just say, like, the Chicago White Sox, who have been rebuilding for the past couple of years, starting with, you know, Jose Abreu. Now they got that lineup that they want to throw out there this year, and that's why they're one of the dark horses to win the World Series. But they're not even at that point yet. They're at that point where I just think they're waiting out these bad contracts that were put on this team.
And I think the Giants would tell you that they believe they're in a rebuild, and that's why, you know, Madison Bumgarner wasn't kept, and that's why Will Smith wasn't kept. Although the question would then remain, you know, well, why didn't you trade him? And obviously the Giants were able to get a couple of extra picks in the draft a month ago because they allowed those guys to sign elsewhere. That's fine. If the Giants are a rebuilding team, Let's go around the horn, because right now and Joey Bart isn't going to play, because for all intents and purposes, Joey Bart is not going to be playing, at least at the beginning of the season, right? So let's go around the horn. We'll save catcher for last. The rebuilding Giants,
right?
Brandon Belt, is playing first base. Mm-hmm. Brandon Crawford is playing shortstop. Mm-hmm. Evan Longoria is playing third base. Pablo Sandoval is a bench infielder, pinch hitter, DH. Mauricio Dubon is a player that's young and ready to play and electric. And I think that's the one guy that you feel like, okay, this guy was a prospect and he's, you know, in another organization. The Giants were able to get him. He's ready to play. He brings some energy. This is a kid that I think, you know, Giants fans are excited to see. But you also have Wilmer Flores, a veteran in the mix. Donovan Solano, another, you know, veteran in the mix. A guy like Darren Ruff, who's going to play some first base and outfield and catch. I mean, this is a journeyman type guy. Alex Dickerson and Mike Yastrzemski are not prospects. They might be nice finds, in the way that maybe a Josh Donaldson or a Brandon Moss were for the A's going right back to the beginning of last decade. They
good
might
pull
be. We don't know that they're that yet. And then you were talking about Billy Hamilton and Hunter Pence and, you know, Kevin Gausman, who's, yes, he's only 29, but Drew Smyly and Samardzija is still here, and Cueto on the, a couple of guys that are probably on the downturn. This is a veteran team.
Yeah.
This is a rebuilding team. On the one hand, like, if you just say, what are the Giants doing? I think most people, again, off the top of their head, now you gave a more nuanced answer, and I think it's accurate, but off the top of your head, are the Giants a rebuilding team? I think most people would be like, yeah, well, they better be. Well, you look at the guys that are actually going to be playing. I mean, without Buster Posey, we're looking at Tyler Heineman,
right,
Rob Brantley, Chad Trump, and maybe some, you know, third or fourth string catcher that's on another team's 60-man roster that doesn't make a team that you could trade for and tell him to show up at Dodger Stadium on the 23rd. I mean, for a rebuilding team, the Giants are awfully veteran and awfully sluggish.
It's kind of it's given me a vibe of how they were really after Barry Bonds was gone. Because it felt like every player that they had on the roster was at least 32 years old.
I mean, think if Brian Sabian had put this team together.
Right.
I mean, it's funny because it's a very Brian Sabian. It's a very what the perception of bad Brian Sabian teams were. Brian Sabian's a Hall of Fame executive and general manager in my book. I can give you my reasons for that, you know, at some point down the line. Some would say it may speak for itself. But Brian Sabian was chastised and criticized for the teams, I think, that didn't work a lot more than the teams that did work. And the teams that didn't work, they were older and journeymen, and this guy who might make it, and low-level, you know, minor league free agent that might turn into something. Like, His most disliked teams by the Giants fan base look a lot like the Farhan Zaidi Giants of 2020.
Yeah, but it's also it's not Farhan's, you know, issue. It's what fell into Farhan's lap when he took the job. I think he knew what was happening here.
Billy Hamilton is. I mean, Gosman
right,
is.
Right.
Drew Smyly is.
But he's taking players.
Rob Brantley is.
He's taking players who at once seemed like they were going to be pretty good earlier on in their careers, and then they just haven't really found their place in baseball. I mean, the reason you're going to want to call Billy Hamilton up is because he's got 299 stolen bases and you want to get him to 300. That's like the main reason that you'd want to call Billy Hamilton up. But you look down at the depth chart, though. That's why I had a tough time even calling it rebuilding. It just seemed there needs to be another term for it, because it seems like we're either going to either a rebuilding team or a contending team. And I don't even think they fall into either of those categories. And it stinks because, you know, I like players like Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford as people. I think they've been good representatives for this Giants team. I mean, they haven't done anything to anybody. They haven't, you know, acted like they just don't really care. They were just given these contracts, and when you're asked to sign this deal, you're going to sign that deal 10 times out of 10. Doesn't matter if it's Brandon Belt's deal of 5 years, $72 million. It doesn't matter if it's Johnny Cueto's deal, Jeff Samardzija's deal. You're going to sign that deal. So, I mean, we are kind of, I think that they were just kind of put in this spot where, hell, I mean, I don't even know if they expected to still be starting for this team at this point in their careers, especially with how they've gone so far.
There was a term that Reggie McKenzie used when he took over the Raiders after Al Davis passed away, and he became the general manager that next year, and he brought in Dennis Allen for that 2012 season, and he used the term deconstruction. The Raiders were in a deconstruction phase. They were in a phase where there were so many things messed up with the cap and not enough young players at certain spots and too many veteran players in other spots, and it all had to kind of get cleaned up.
Yeah.
And, you know, he actually very early on in his tenure, and it's rare because usually I think most teams like to get through the deconstruction phase in one season, but he came out late at the end of that first year, even middle of that first year. He said, no, this is probably a 2-year deconstruction phase based on, you know, how many, you know, players they basically had to swap out on the roster and how much, you know, financial flexibility they had to get in order. I think the Giants are in the second year of at least a 2-year deconstruction phase. And frankly, I think you could make a case that deconstruction is going to go even into the first half of next year, just based on the fact that this season's only going to be 60 games. And you're still going to, in all likelihood, have a lot of veteran players that are under contract next year.
And what Reggie McKenzie was referring to was the spending spree that Al Davis went on at the end of the 2000s there, citing guys like Javon Walker to a 6-year, $55 million deal, along with, you know, D'Angelo Hall for a, what was it, seven years and $70 million deal, and they just released him after 8 games. So they were still trying to hurt the sting from that. But, you know, these contracts were given to these Giants players, these big ones, and now it's kind of a situation where they're trying to work their way out of it. Somehow, Farhan got his way out of the Melanson deal, and that didn't come easy when they traded him to the Braves. So he did a piece of that, but still, it is a very similar situation. I can't believe he brought that up, because as I'm thinking about it, deconstruction is the absolute perfect word to use. Now, do I think that, you know, Farhan's made the same sort of decisions that, you know, Reggie McKenzie made in terms of hiring Dennis Allen? Like, Dennis Allen, you know, wasn't a ready-made head coach at the time. Well, he just had a bunch of players like that. But, you know, maybe the Gabe Kapler thing is a little different, but it's a very similar situation.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, I'm fine with the job that Farhan Zaidi's done to this point. I believe it or not, the move that I have take the most issue with is hiring Gabe Kapler, frankly.
Right.
But I also think that, you know, the Giants, when the Giants are good again, like, to me, it's going to be at least 22, if not 23, the next time the Giants are actually a good team. Gabe Kapler's probably not going to be the manager then anyway, because it's almost set up for him to not win enough these next couple of years. And it'll just kind of be, yeah, he won't win enough because they won't be good enough. And, you know, he's probably going to do some strange things, and in part because of the roster that he has, and it just will wind up not working. Like, that's my, you know, I said that initially. Like, I think there's some pretty serious disaster potential for Gabe Kapler, but it really doesn't matter because they probably weren't going to win anyway. So he's almost a stopgap manager, right? Like, the, you know, okay, he comes in this deconstruction phase where, you know, you've got Dickerson and Yastrzemski and Dubon, and the rest of the real young prospects, even Joey Bart, are still a ways away. And you're trying to massage the end of the Posey era and the Belt era and the Crawford era and the Bumgarner era, although Bumgarner's already gone. You're trying to massage that But when the Giants are really rolling and trying to contend in 23, let's say, yeah, Gabe Kapler, he'll be gone. And they'll have a real manager in there that you feel, you know, hey, this guy can lead them, you know, to a playoff spot. So I actually think all of that's going to kind of work itself out, if you will. But, man, there just isn't a lot of, boy, I really want to see how this team plays this year.
Right. And well, the thing with Gabe Kapler, I feel like he's a perfect type of manager to help build team camaraderie. And because that's kind of what his strategy is. I mean, before the pandemic, when spring training was going on, would he have like ping pong tournaments going on among the players? He had different little activities, but I could see guys like, you know, Brandon Crawford, any of these veteran guys who are mostly set in their ways. They don't want to stray away from the norm. So when Gabe Kapler is going to bring his sort of the team building exercises to this team, which already feels like they don't need these exercises, then I mean, it's going to fall on deaf ears. So I think Gabe Kapler's more his style. It might be more suited for a younger team that's on the up and up, but for a veteran team and the fact that they're still in a deconstruction phase, I really like that word, JD. I'm going to use that.
It's Reggie McKenzie. That's all Reggie McKenzie.
Shout out to Reg.
Stole it from Reggie McKenzie.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Take it as your own, JD. Use it as your own.
Yes. If you're stealing from me, you're stealing. You're stealing twice because I stole it. Because I stole it from him. I think the Gabe Kapler era, given all of the things that we've talked about here in the first hour, has supreme potential to get a little weird and probably not end all that well for him.
Really?
But again, yeah, in the big picture, does it really matter, though, if the most meaningful things the Giants do in 2020 and 2021 are phase out, you know, the players that help them win World Series and phase in the players that Farhan Zaidi and Scott Harris want to build around.
Right.
Like, to me, it's almost inconsequential in a way. But I do think there's some serious potential for it to not go well. Although I will also say, I think a shorter year for year one does give Gabe Kapler a better shot than he would have had if he had to actually manage this team as it was going to be constituted over 162, because that would have, there's less time simply for everybody to kind of him to wear on everybody, if that makes sense.
Well, like, I mean, he's got 3 years, 3 years to do it.
All right. He's Stephen Lankford. We got 1 hour in the books. I'm John Dickinson, 888-957-9570. We do have some text messages to get to. We'll keep the baseball conversation going. We're less than 2 weeks away from the 60-game regular season. And we can also get back into some of the conversation about Buster Posey. 1 hour down, three more to come right here on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.